Good morning and welcome to Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air. My name is Rachel and I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Rachel.
We'll start our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God grant us the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.
Preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous. Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for AA membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied to any sect, denomination, politics, organisation or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. Welcome to our meeting this morning. We have members of our fellowship in and they'll be sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey in recovery from alcoholism. And to start the sharing off, we have Nick. Nick, would you like to share?
Good morning, Rachel. My name's Nick. I'm an alcoholic. Yeah. Firstly, just very grateful to be here. It's a beautiful day. It's great to wake up on such a lovely day with a clear head and with lots of hope for the balance of the day. I was on my way to the studio this morning thinking about what I could say, and as usual, I draw a blank. So this is very much based on my experience, and my experience as an alcoholic started many, many years ago. I probably should have realised there was a red flag at 19 when I was DIC'd, driving a motorbike without a helmet and somebody on the back, and then again when I was 21. And interestingly, when I was 21, I just started work, and I sat in a courtroom, and the judge was going to give me a fine and a loss of licence for my second DIC, but instead he gave me periodic detention. I was actually working in a very well-paid job on my way to the top of the corporate ladder, and that still didn't dissuade me from my drinking career, even though I was chopping the thistles on the side of the streets first thing Saturday morning with some hardened criminals. Anyway, I carried on my my corporate career and my drinking career, and incredibly, the better I got at drinking, the more successful I became. And drinking became an intrinsic part of my life. And for a lot of that time, it was fun and I thought necessary, not only to sustain my client entertainment and my good nature, but also to enjoy myself and to unwind after stressful days. Fast forward 20-odd years, and I was married and had been for many years. I had beautiful children. My career had been good to me in terms of material things, and then it started unravelling. I realised that I was organising meetings around my drinking. I was shrinking the groups of people that I associated with, and indeed being deceitful to my family and myself around what I was doing and where I was going and how I was behaving. And it resulted in, despite a number of warnings, it resulted in my wife leaving me. And I'd always thought that I was a great family man and a marvellous husband and father, but clearly that wasn't the case. I was desperate, and I turned to AA, and I started coming to meetings. And at the first meeting I went to, I was told, get a sponsor, get a home group, do the steps. And I ignored that. I thought I could just go to the meetings and use my willpower, which I had in many other instances of my life successfully, to get on top of this condition. and after 4 weeks I slipped and had a relapse, which took me to a much worse place than I had been prior to coming into the rooms. So I, despite feeling terrible and guilty and remorse and further away from getting my family back together, I took AA's advice and got a sponsor and a home group and actually started working the program and doing it for myself. And one of the key things for me was to stay on step one and genuinely surrender to the fact that I was an alcoholic and that I was powerless over alcohol, and to admit that my life had become unmanageable. From the very good advice from my sponsor was, look, there's no point doing anything more in terms of the program unless you have that at the core of your recovery. And I have subsequently committed to the program. I've committed to my sponsor and to my home group, committed to working the steps. And through that, I have absolutely found a much better communication with my higher power. I came from a relatively religious background, but I felt that my prayer and my communication with God, who is my higher power, was always dissatisfying because there was far too much of me and not enough of him or her in that conversation. So I've been trying to think less about myself and more about God's will. I would like to say that I have a very clear picture of what God's will is for me at the moment. I don't, other than for me to be sober today. And I'm enjoying the line of communication that I have with my higher power, and things are becoming clearer to me. And that is to be more discriminating in terms of what is right and wrong, what is useful and useless, what is anger and what is fear and what is love and faith. So one of the things I've learned through AA is the flip side of many of these emotions that we feel as alcoholics have actually quite wonderful opposites to them, and it's focusing on those opposites and hoping that we can live our lives in using those opposites and as our strength and guide to lead more useful lives. Certainly in yesterday's reflection, I thought was very apposite for me because it was about true ambition, and for me ambition was about power and money and social standing, whereas I'm understanding more and more that it's about being useful and humble and truthful. And I'm really excited about living a life with those as my guiding values, and I hope that through this fellowship and through working the steps and through the support of all my my great friends at AA, I can continue to wake up on beautiful days like today sober and get my head down tonight sober and be more useful and humble and look forward to helping where I can. I'm still in an early stage of my recovery, but I look forward to being much more of service to the fellowship as this program continues. And I'll just leave it there, but thank you very much for coming, for asking me to come in today, and God bless.
Thanks, Nick.
Thanks, Nick.
You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the next person to share is Peter.
Thanks, Rachel. My name is Peter and I'm an alcoholic.
Hello, Peter.
It's a real privilege to be able to talk to an audience on radio today about my experience of this fellowship, and a particular welcome to you if you're listening to the show for the first time. There's a saying we have in AA that nobody shows up by accident. And the only requirement for membership here is a desire to stop drinking. If you have a desire to stop drinking, you're in the right place. And I certainly urge you to get along to a real live meeting, if it's possible for you, as soon as possible. My story is, I suppose, in many ways the same as many others, but it's also very different. I think we all have different drinking stories that lead us here. When I first got into AA, I sort of pictured myself as being in a room with people who lay in grotty plastic raincoats at bus stops with a brown paper bag with a bottle of hooch. And I thought, I'm certainly not one of those. And I kind of walked into the rooms feeling both disgruntled that I was there and very judgmental about everyone else in the room, thinking, well, these guys are just a bunch of real drunks, and all I am is a guy who likes his booze. The reason I was in the room was not because I wanted to stop drinking. My wife wanted me to stop drinking, and I was heading for the end of my marriage, a marriage which I really, really treasure. The writing was on the wall, you know, and we'd been away on holiday, and on the last night of our holiday, we were walking on the beach, and I said, this has been a really great holiday. And my wife said, And I said, what's the hesitation in your voice there? And she said, well, you know damn well what the hesitation is. And I did, of course. It's because, you know, you get loaded every night. And something came out of my mouth, and to this day, I don't really know why it came out of my mouth. I think perhaps it was God working my jaw, but anyway, what came out of my mouth was, when we get back to town, I'll go to an AA meeting. And the minute I said that, I thought, are you crazy? What the hell would you want to go to an AA meeting for? But anyway, I'd got back to town and I'd made this undertaking, so I went to the meeting. And at one point in the meeting, they asked if anybody wanted to share who hadn't been picked out by name, and I said in this really disgruntled fashion, well, I suppose I'd better share, you know, feeling really pissed off about it. Because what I wanted was some advice about how I could carry on drinking and get my wife off my back. And unfortunately, I didn't find it there. Nobody was interested in offering me that advice at all. Nobody was interested in offering me any advice, as a matter of fact. What they were offering me was an example of a different way that I could be. And the invitation was there for me. If I wanted what they had, I could do what they did. If I was happy with the way I was doing things, I could go back out and carry on drinking. And I have absolutely no doubt that within a couple of years, I would have lost my marriage. And within a few more years after that, I would have lost my life, either in a car accident or I would have just drunk myself to death. Because my drinking story, which actually didn't really start until I was in my late 20s, when I went back through it, I could see that it had got worse year by year by year. Every year, just a little bit worse. Every year, just a few more benders. Every year, just a few more excruciating hangovers. Every year, just a few more bits of vomiting in the middle of the night. You see, I wasn't a falling down in the gutter drunk. I worked in a profession, in fact, where drinking was highly tolerated, where a good drinker was respected. But I never drank to excess in front of my colleagues. None of them knew I was a really serious lush. What I would do was, if we went out to the pub, I'd have two or three beers, and then when I get home, I'd start on my serious drinking. And I never drank before 6 o'clock at night, but I never failed to drink. 365 days a year and 366 days in a leap year, I got lushed at night. And it was killing me. Now, they often say that you need to have the gift of desperation to get into AA. I wasn't even desperate. I hadn't reached what we call my rock bottom, but sometimes, people have told me later, sometimes the rock bottom comes up to meet you while you're still on the way down. And I think that was my story. When I walked into that room feeling really disgruntled and listened to the stories other people were telling me, I realised I was, to use a lovely phrase that I've heard in the rooms, sick and tired of feeling sick and tired. Because that's all alcohol was doing to me. I've heard it said alcohol stopped working, and I always thought that was a pretty weird thing to say. I mean, I still get just as lushed as ever I did. What it failed to do, though, what it was failing to do was to quiet all the feelings in me that it was designed to quiet. You see, what I have realised after not terribly long in AA is that it's not about the drinking. For me, it's not about the drinking. Knocking off the booze was not actually that hard for me. I've never had a slip, and I haven't really come close to a slip. But I have a lot of trouble being sober. Now, by that, I mean the distinction between being sober and being abstinent from alcohol. I've been sober now for a few years in the sense of not having had anything to drink. But being sober in my thinking, in my actions, in the way I approach the world is a real challenge. And the difficulties I had in doing that, I used to solve with booze. I used to be, for example, very resentful and jealous of people in my profession, of colleagues. And I would drink it away. If I got home at night and had a few drinks, I was no longer so resentful. In fact, I thought they weren't such bad people. If I was feeling sorry for myself, a few drinks would sort that out. And it got to the point, of course, where the collateral damage was just too much. Drinking stopped working as a solution to my problems. What I realised was that I was constantly at war with the world, and that what my enemy was my kind of self-absorption, my feelings of entitlement, jealousy, resentment, and anger at the world. Now, I could go on for the rest of my life trying to work out where they all come from. I don't know, I suppose that's a useful line of inquiry. But what I needed to do when I gave up the booze, because the booze was my way of quietening them, was actually deal with these things on a daily basis. And that's not a long-term undertaking. That's a day-by-day, hour-by-hour, sometimes minute-by-minute undertaking. And so what I found when I came into AA was that it gave me a spiritual toolkit. It didn't do anything to help me stop drinking. It did a lot of things to help me deal with the person I was and the thinking I was, which had made me drink. So it did it indirectly. I didn't come into these rooms looking for some sort of spiritual awakening. I wouldn't have even dreamt of the idea of a spiritual awakening. But I got one kind of by accident, kind of as an extra bonus. And I gave up the drinking as well. And it's been the most fantastic change in my life. It is definitely the single biggest change that has occurred in my life. And it's literally saved my life. So if you are of a mind that you'd like to give up drinking, I really commend the AA path to you because it's got a hell of a lot to offer. Thanks very much for listening to me today.
Thanks, Peter. You're with Alcoholics Anonymous on 104.6 Planet FM. We have members of our fellowship in this morning, and they're sharing their experience, strength and hope about their journey of recovery from alcoholism. And the last person to share this morning is Vic.
Thanks, Rachel. My name is Vic, and I'm an alcoholic.
Hey, Vic.
Hi, Vic. Hi. The other day I was at a meeting and I heard somebody say that it takes about 2,000 hours to master anything to a degree of competence, whether you're learning to fly a plane or operate ceramics or learn to come to terms with violin playing, 2,000 hours. Well, I didn't learn how to drink in 2,000 hours, that's for sure, because I was in like Flynn with just the first half pint of vodka that I took. I didn't know how to drink, and I got this real strange feeling, which was just coming over me like I was floating away into some new dimension, and that was a terrific feeling because I didn't particularly like the dimension I was in at the age of 14 years old. I felt different than other people. I felt difficult to talk to people, shy, had acne, a lot of sort of things like that. And the funny thing was that alcohol took all of those imagined difficulties away, and the real difficulties, and I felt very open and suddenly able to talk to people, life of the party, a bit of a comedian, and it was okay, you know. Well, I could be the class clown, and I could be the guy at the office party who entertained everybody in my 20s. But after a while, this image began to wear a little bit thin, and I took up drinking quite seriously. I thought I had control over alcohol because I could manage it. I could always get it whenever I wanted to, and I seemed to want it all the time. But there were problems which were developing, and one of them was that alcohol had not only become my best friend, it had begun to corrode some of the elements of me, such as honesty. A lot of other things began to develop as well. My self-pity levels were rising, self-justification, impatience, hate, resentment, false pride, jealousy, laziness, envy, particularly procrastination. And that was probably one of the things that would prevent me from ever wanting to change, because I was lazy and I procrastinated, you know. I just kept doing the same things over and over again. And that was, in the end, going down to the liquor store every morning at 10 o'clock and loading up and just basically escaping from myself completely. I got to the point where the doctors finally said to me when I wound up in the hospital that if I didn't stop drinking, I was probably going to die, and fairly soon, too. Well, I didn't really have any other backup plan, but somebody suggested AA, you know, and I went in there, and there were a whole lot of really nice people. Peter or someone had mentioned the idea of alcoholics being people sitting on park benches with brown paper bags. Well, you know, I thought, oh, well, if I'm going to sit on a park bench, I'm not going to have a brown paper bag. I'm going to have a lavender-colored Pierre Cardin bag, you know, something like that, and people won't know. But again, that sheets home to honesty. They've talked about things that they had, things like humility, modesty, patience, forgiveness, promptness, straightforwardness, positive thinking, and I thought to myself, gee, these are the sort of things that they've got that I would really like to have. Someone once said fairly early in my sobriety that if you want what we have, do what we do. And of course, what they told me to do, I took basically as an order, even though they said these are just suggestions. I got a sponsor. Well, first of all, I kept attending meetings. That was my rehab. Basically, I went to about 2 meetings a day for the first year. And because, first of all, there was a lot of wisdom floating around in those rooms. And secondly, I had nothing better to do with my time, because the amount of time that I had spent drinking, I thought, if I can take one quarter of that amount of time where I'm thinking about alcohol and just spend it on thinking about breaking this cycle, this addiction, whatever it happens to be. And they told me it was not just an addiction, but it was a disease. It was a disease of the mind, and it was a disease of the body. Every cell in my body craved alcohol. But the strange thing was that the more I associated with the people in AA, the more I began to feel like one of them. And by just magic, the urge to drink seemed to have dropped away somewhere along the line. I noticed that the quality of my attitude was becoming much more positive. I noticed that I started to enjoy going to meetings. I began to meet people who took an interest in life and living. And the funny thing was that they talked about the sunlight of the spirit coming into their lives. Well, I'm not very much of a spiritual person. I thought spirits were just alcohol, you know. Being under the spirits of alcohol was basically what I spent most of my life doing. But they talked about a spiritual awakening. Well, I didn't know what a spiritual awakening was. I thought that had something to do with God. And in fact, when I looked it up in the in what they call the Big Book, it said that spiritual awakening allows us to think, do, and feel that which we could not do alone on our own unaided resources. And I was beginning to think, do, and feel things which were of a much more positive nature through my association with AA and my identification with it. It was... It began to grow within me a desire to pay back to these people something which they had given me. They'd given me their time, they'd given me their wisdom, and they'd given me their friendship. And I suddenly realized that one way I could begin to feel better was if I started to not only share and participate in this way of life that they had, but I got to a point where I was able to start to help other people that were coming in who were further back on the road than I was. And I could talk to them after meetings, and if I didn't, you know, if I didn't know how to answer some question they had, I'd probably heard someone in a meeting already address that issue, and I could either refer that person to someone else or tell them that I heard once in a meeting such and such, and that would often do the thing that they needed to hear. They talk a lot in AA about anonymity, and we don't use surnames in Alcoholics Anonymous. I can understand why that is, because if I'd gone around to everyone and said, my life has changed, I'm in Alcoholics Anonymous, and then a month later I slipped off the bandwagon and wound up with a DIC and courts and everything, people who had all heard about this wonderful thing that had happened to Vic in AA would think, well, AA doesn't work. Look what happened to Vic. And so we tend to not shout from the rooftops how great this is. We tend to use our discretion in admitting to other people what our surname is and the fact that we're associated with AA. When it's appropriate, we bring it up. I can remember once when a friend of mine in AA broke his leg in a car accident. I went to the hospital to see him. I didn't know what his surname was. I said, I'd like to see Joe. And they said, well, who's Joe? You see, we got three Joes at Auckland General Hospital. And I said, oh, he's about 35, you know, he's about as tall as I am, he's got a beard. No, it doesn't. He broke his leg. Oh, you mean Joe somebody or other, they would mention. And then I suddenly realized sometimes it is useful to know the surname. Well, I don't give my surname, and I often don't say that I'm associated with AA to people who don't need to know, because that pushes a lot of buttons for people. They think, ooh, Alcoholics Anonymous, and immediately, or alcoholic, you're put into a category. And it's very hard to change people's minds. So I just generally play it low-key, and I've been in the fellowship for a number of years now, and it's really changed my attitude, and it's really replaced all those liabilities that I used to have with a whole number of assets, and among them patience, tolerance, and all the rest of it are some of the qualities which I prize quite highly, things I never had before I came into the fellowship. Very grateful for AA. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Rick.
Thanks, Rick.
That brings us towards the end of our meeting. If you've been listening and identified with our speakers and you'd like to do something about your drinking, you can log on to aa.org.nz, and in the drop-down box under meeting lists, there's a list of all meetings in the Greater Auckland area and right throughout the country. You can also phone 0800 AA Works, and this will put you in contact with an AA member in your local area. We'll be back here next Sunday at 10:45 on 104.6 Planet FM with Alcoholics Anonymous AA meeting on air, and we'll close our meeting with the Serenity Prayer.
God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference.